Welcome to another episode of The Art of Flying with Tobin Osuski. He is I and I am he. Thank you guys for tuning in. I appreciate it. The subject of study today is an interesting one. It's called synesthesia. This is something I personally have been experiencing since I was about 7 years old, and I'll get to that in a moment. But the first time I actually heard about this was many years later, listening to NERD or the Neptunes. Those of you more familiar with Pharrell Williams, spoke about something called seeing sounds. And when I first heard that term, I was like, yeah, I understand more than just understand. I've been experiencing that, and any occasion throughout my life, in childhood and youth, that I would bring that up to somebody, they would look at you like you're weird, or, you know, they would kind of sense that they didn't experience reality the same way, so there would be a subtle jealousy that would seep into their consciousness or subconscious mind, and they would start to judge you, and, you know, a lot of things, a lot of our abilities we don't bring up to people because they seem weird or we're judged when we're younger. And essentially, that is the purpose of this episode, is to let everybody know that we all have super abilities, extra abilities, strange abilities, whatever you want to term them. Every person on the planet has some. Now, I'm just going to speak about ones that I've personally experienced and that I've learned through studying science. There are definitions of these things, and there are populations of people that experience these things, and that they are not by any means disabilities. They're just different functions of consciousness and the senses that we collectively as humans don't yet fully grasp and understand the mechanics of, yet they exist, and they've existed throughout time. And we have comic books that tell us of superheroes with these gifts. And then there's people next door, neighbors to us, that have the same gifts. So we have to look at ourselves, and we must look at our childhoods more purely and remember the things that were unique about us and were very special about us before we started becoming like everybody else and conforming to a different mold. How were we created by nature? There is power in that. I got very lucky in a few senses that growing up, I didn't have the same social structure as everybody else. I didn't have groups of friends or anything. I had, you know, a friend here and there, but I lived in a more remote area of town and I spent a lot of time by myself. So my senses, these senses became enhanced, and they tuned themselves in, and they were allowed to function freely and openly in the forest, essentially, where I grew up, because these extrasensory abilities, or enhanced senses, I should say, helped me survive, because I was in the woods with 700-pound black bears and coyote packs and, you know, rattlesnakes and all types of predators that I could have succumbed to, but I didn't, because these senses had to wake up. I was alone in the woods at dusk sometimes, and as dark was falling, so these senses saved my life. And anyone that's listening, I want you to know that it's never too late to start developing any sense. It's like deciding you want to play piano and you go for piano lessons, and at some point you can learn the piano. It's not like you have to be a genius savant 4-year-old that's playing the piano. It's not how life works. We all have infinite capability. We just normally will try to fit into this mold that society tells us is the normal way or the typical way of a human expressing himself or herself. Yet we go home and we have art projects and we make music and we do this and we do that and we practice skills and we practice gymnastics, we practice yoga, and we practice working out, and we do this. Ultimately, the point is that we have something that we're nervous to show the world because we don't think we're very good at it. So we do these other things, these sports and these societal things that are programmed for us so we can fit in. Now, I'm going to give you a big secret that you've probably figured out already. There is no fulfillment or satisfaction in fitting in. It's boring. I've tried it many times. It's unenlightening. It doesn't advance your soul or your consciousness. It doesn't develop your mind. And I'm not saying being social is not a good thing. I'm saying fitting in to social norms and archetypes that aren't eliciting your highest self from manifesting on this planet are not necessarily the best things for our society. We need to break away from them. The easiest way to break away from them is liberation of the individual and a reattunement to their divine abilities, and hence my talk on synesthesia and actually Tourette's syndrome, because at the same time that I started developing these abilities, or I should say the fusion of my senses began happening, or as synesthesia definitions say, the union of the senses, I started experiencing an amplification of my senses as well, and I was diagnosed to have Tourette's syndrome, which is a neurological overfiring, which you can see as an amplification of the senses, because every nerve in the body is in part of the neurological network, and if the neurological network is overfiring, then every nerve in the body is hyperreactive and hyperactive at the same time. So there's this amplified nature of the nervous system. And then I'm experiencing synesthesia in certain ways. I wasn't necessarily seeing sounds, but what I was seeing was numbers, calculations. I had this almost vision board in front of me, or a movie screen in front of me, that I could do calculations on. I could do advanced writing, and anything that I read or wrote would store on this board, and I can pull up the board anytime at any point throughout the board and read from it. It's like a photographic memory, but it was a little more because it was mixed with synesthesia, so I could actually visualize these light forms in an alternate dimension, I would say, influencing my reality here, and it would allow me to calculate advanced mathematics, calculus, algebra, trigonometry, all without using paper or pen, and it was very interesting. So one of the coolest things that I experience still to this day, like on a daily basis, is tasting memories. So I'll have a memory, or I'll have a daydream, or I'll be meditating, or I'll be dreaming, and I will taste as if I just bit into something as fresh as a food could be. Whatever memory I'm having also usually has an accompanying taste, which is super curious and super interesting. And I found out after studying synesthesia, I didn't realize this for many, many years. I just thought, oh, this is like an interesting neurological thing that happens to me. I have tastes come up when certain memories come up. And I always just justified it as a way to remember the incident a little bit deeper, was that my body was remembering an extra sense. But now that I realize that's part of synesthesia, it's something called lexical gustatory, which is actually the rarest form of synesthesia. It's only 0.2% of the synesthesia population that experiences this form of synesthesia called lexical gustatory. And I experienced it. It was super interesting to learn what a percentage that was. But yeah, that's one of the things I've experienced. Another form of synesthesia that I personally have experienced, and I touched upon this with that visualization board, is complex memorization. And I have this very interesting ability, and now that I'm 36 years old, I have proven it decades over decades, that in a kinesthetic synesthesia individual, they have the predictive ability over the quantum mechanic realm. So we calculate in such a way that it actually allows us to accurately predict future incidents, timing, occurrences, happenings, and that's called kinesthetic synesthesia. Very interesting. One of the coolest ones I like, it's not so interesting like lexical gustatory or something like that, but to me it's the coolest one ever. When I was young, I noticed, and I just thought I was an empath, and people always call, I'm an empath. Empathy is a very important thing for us to cultivate, of course, but there is actually something called mirror touch synesthesia, where if another person near me, I see this person get hurt, or they're crying, or they get touched by something or burnt by something, I will actually feel that in my body as if it happened to me. And this is a real thing. This isn't a psychosis. This isn't acting. This is an actual physical thing that we are, on the quantum level, all connected to each other in such a way that some of us are so sensitive and tuned in to each other that we actually feel for each other. And this is a real thing called mirror touch synesthesia. And I highly recommend everybody look into it, because as I'm discussing these things, these properties are latent in everybody, because this is not a phenomenon that's a mutation in a negative way. This is not a byproduct of an issue. This is a union of the senses. This is an evolution, a next step forward for our species. And simply by cognizing the concepts, by understanding what it is, your body will start to activate these tools. It's like sitting down your whole life and seeing people walking for the first time and then being like, get up, you just got to use your legs and walk, just watch what I'm doing. It's the same thing, and the body will start to activate itself neurologically so that you can do what someone else is doing. So I highly recommend looking into all synesthesia, but specifically mirror touch synesthesia, because you can learn through visualizing other people doing things. It's called, I'm blanking on the term. Autodidactic learning is learning, teaching yourself by visualizing and then emulating the things that you're seeing until you manifest the ability to do them. So anyway, Tourette's was an interesting thing because it was almost an uncontrollable thing, but at the same time, it allowed me to experience enhanced states of alertness, awareness, endocrine secretion, brainwave function control. And then I had the synesthesia attached. So it was a super curious thing to start happening at 7 years old. And as I got older and discussing it with people, the social isolation and depressive stuff that happens is very interesting, because those things always lead you back to yourself. And if you're a powerful and strong being, you will always use that time with yourself to cultivate and develop and improve. And that at least is what I did. So I would channel my abilities to enhancing my athletic skills, or becoming so proficient with my ability to calculate that I could pass any question of any test in any course that any math class would ever present me with, and school would be easy from then on. And I started channeling these abilities into my daily life, which is exactly the purpose of me saying this right now, is you have abilities, you listeners, that you're not fully aware of. And once you activate them, they will start an active role in your reality and developing it into a better photograph for you. The life that you were born to live, that your soul came here with in a plan and in a manuscript, like this is what we're supposed to do, that we got lost and confused by all this life shit and all this trauma that we go through and these people telling us what we should think and do. Ultimately, our DNA is that life script, that thing that we came with that can always tell us exactly who we are, and it has dormancy. There's latent DNA, there's what they call junk DNA that's waiting to be activated, and that's where these skills live, that's where synesthesia lives, that's where the ability to fly lives. That's where the ability to manifest your visualizations instantly and very quickly lives and comes from. This is where self-healing comes from. This is where our ability intuitively to quantumly connect to each other and feel empathy. But at the same time, if I'm feeling someone's pain and I don't have that pain in my body, maybe I can phase over my wellness to them and they don't feel that pain anymore. They can heal from an injury because I'm healed from the injury. Maybe that's the future of this. And this is my goal, is let's put this out in the world. Someone's going to listen to this and this seed will grow into a tree that's going to produce a fruit that someone's going to eat one day and benefit from for the rest of reality. And hopefully that person does listen to this and they're not hiding their abilities. They enhance them. They unlimit themselves and they start to, you know, really amplify their divine potential for the benefit and sake of the rest of the world, because we need it right now. So thank you guys for listening. This is another episode of The Art of Flying. I appreciate you sharing this with anybody that might need to hear this. I love you. Remember who you are. Shine a light on that. I will help you develop those skills if you need to. Reach out to me. I'm here for you.